invite you, if you're not already there, to open up your Bibles or perhaps pull out an electronic device and turn to the Gospel according to St. John. The Gospel according to St. John. We will consider together this morning verses 1 through 21. The Gospel according to John, verses 1 through 21. Before we hear from our God through the reading and the preaching of his word, let us go to him yet again in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and most magnificent Father, we are blessed and indeed highly favored that you have seen fit to look upon us as lowly persons, those who are often clothed in sin. You have granted us, O Lord Jesus the Christ, who was willing and indeed is ready to clothe us in his absolute righteousness. And so we pray, Lord, that we would take a hold of that great truth, Lord, mind and body, to receive the Christ this day. Lord, that the confession of all of our lips would be, yes, Lord, I believe. So we pray, Lord, that even now you would begin working on our hearts to root out the skepticism, to root out the unbelief, that we might trust in Christ, whether afresh or for the first time. Help us to that end. Help us to know what that means. Help us to know that indeed you are a good God. We pray all of these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, and amen. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And out of the sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The word of the Lord. We are still in that time of year with Israel when they celebrated the feast of the tabernacles. For 8 days now, they have offered up various sacrifices, guilt offerings, sin offerings, drink offerings, while they relive and recount the ways the Lord was good to them in delivering them from Egypt out of slavery into freedom as he escorted them into the promised land. He took care of their every need, even down to the huts in which they stayed as they made that journey through the wilderness into the promised land. It's the last day. And in fact, it's been the last day since chapter 7 in John's gospel. When we heard, for example, that the Pharisees sent officers to arrest Jesus. The Pharisees didn't like the person of Christ. The Pharisees did not like the things that Christ was saying, and so they thought the best thing to do is to send officers that Jesus might be arrested. But what happened? When the officers returned to the Pharisees, they returned empty-handed. And those religious elites, those Pharisees, said to the officers, "What happened? Where's Jesus?" And they replied, "Never have we heard a man speak like this." Since those words were spoken by the officers, we have been in the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. As is our custom here during the sermons, I don't have 3 points for you, but I do have 3 words. Follow the leader. Something I was taught quite well in the military. Since day one, we got off the bus, and our recruit division commanders, our leaders, had us line up in rank. And they told us that our backs need to be perfectly perpendicular to the ground on which we stood. We were to take our hands and ball them like fists and put them by our side, and our eyes were to be straight ahead, such that when they eventually told us, "Forward, march," we knew where we were going. We mimicked the person who was in front of us as he marched. Ultimately, though, we were listening to our leader, such that when he said, "Column left," we knew that was an indication that we are preparing ourselves to turn left. And he said, "March," and we began turning left. When he said, "Mark time," that was our indication that we are preparing ourselves to begin marching while standing essentially still. We knew, though, as we marked time, we would begin marching forward again. And so our leader would say, "Forward, march." And we began on that trail once more, until eventually we came to the place where we would cease marching. And we heard our leader say, "Company, halt." That meant take one more step before you stop. But imagine, because this did happen, how frequently when the leader would say stop, people kept marching. It demonstrated not only people's inability to listen to their leader, but it also affected everyone around them. Because when people in front of them stopped and they did not pick up on the call that they were to halt, they would take those additional 2 or 3 steps and plow right into the person in front of them, such that now the person in front of them stumbles and falls into the person in front of them. When you don't listen to your leader, it not only affects you, but it also affects everyone around you. Don't think that you can somehow make wrong decisions and it only falls on your shoulders. That's why it is imperative that we obey and listen to every word. That's why it is imperative that we follow the leader. Jesus, verse 1, is still in this debate with the Pharisees. Just a few verses prior, he was speaking to the man who was born blind, a man whom he healed. This man, though born blind, this man, though, who was recognized in the community as a beggar, now sees. And as Jesus is interacting with this man, he said, "It's actually for this very purpose that I've come, so that those who think they see, it will actually be revealed that they are blind." And that striking statement was overheard by the Pharisees. And they said then to Jesus, "Are we blind too?" To which Jesus responded, "Absolutely." That conversation is continuing. But be careful, lest you stumble. You see, because if you're anything like me, sometimes when people are elevated in society, not because they've done good things and that is their proper place, but because they have put themselves there by manipulating the masses. You can have a large following of people, and that person who has that large gathering still be wrong. And you can look at the one who has the large following and you conclude that there's something wrong with that person. How could people follow that individual? Almost sounds like politics, doesn't it? But we recognize that there's something wrong with that leader. And so when that person who has elevated himself and is high and lifted up has his feet chopped out from under him and he falls, there's something inside of us that makes us feel a bit vindicated. We might say to ourselves, about time. I've been waiting for something like that to happen. Be careful, because no sooner than we hear of these Pharisees, the ones who have elevated themselves to a place of prominence both in the temple, in the synagogue, as well as the community, and Jesus takes his words and he strikes them to bring them down low. He turns right around verse 4 and calls the church sheep. That categorization should bring you low. To realize who you are, might be, or hopefully will become. I was just having dinner in Delaware on Friday evening, and the man with whom I was having dinner said, "I was raised around sheep." He said, "Those are some of the dumbest animals I've ever encountered." He says, no matter what, they always seem to wander off. And so when he would prepare to go to school in the mornings, he would have to go out and try to tend to his father's sheep, and they would be all over the place. So sometimes he would be late for school because he's trying to gather the sheep. And he said, no matter how much I called them, they would never come. You see, because the voice of the one who calls matters. You see, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know their name, and I lead them out." Jesus has words for us to ponder this morning, people of God. But unlike that young man who would try to tend to his father's sheep and really didn't have much results, there are some people who have no business being around the sheep. And they know this. That's why they climb through or they go up through a window to get into the sheepfold. They're not going to go by way of the front door. That's where surveillance is. That's where the gatekeeper is. Everybody knows that if there is a person who's going through that front door who should not be there, he will be stopped. So it is necessary then to take the alternative path, to go through perhaps a window. The points of the one who goes through the window, whom Jesus calls a thief and a robber. A thief is one who would steal things from your house. A robber is one who would accost you on the way. The point of ones who are thieves and robbers who will climb up through the window to get to the sheepfold is to wreck your house. It's to destroy the environment in which the sheep live. They want to pour trash over your living room. They want to spray paint the walls. They want to shatter your dishes. They want to break your furniture. And most of all, they will try to take what is quite valuable, the sheep. It's, you know, when you have that vibration in your pocket and you pull out your cell phone and it says Amber Alert. They've come for you, to take you. But that's a little bit harder than maybe they realized it would be. Because on the one hand, while sheep may be somewhat unintelligent, they're also heavy. So these thieves and robbers haven't been going to the gym, they haven't been doing MMA, so they're not just going to get up and take these sheep one by one back up through the place where they came. They might get one, but after trying to get two and three, they'll realize they haven't been in the gym long enough. They'll also be busted because surveillance will eventually catch them. Jesus said, verse 4, that the sheep follow me, and I go before them, and they know my voice. Everyone else who speaks to the sheep, who seek to steal, kill, and destroy, are strangers. If my memory serves me correctly, I believe it was during one of my lower division biology classes where I learned about the acute stress response. You may not know it by that name. Some people know it by fight or flight. You've seen, if you've watched the Animal Channel, perhaps when you have a group of elk and there is this tiger or this lion that kind of descends on the elk, they just scatter. They know that if they remain there, danger is upon us. Something's going to happen to our life. Something is going to cause us to not be the way that we were created to be. So that tiger that descends upon the elk causes them, because they hear those pitter-pats, to disperse. It's like the group of people who are in a mall. Mall can be a crowded place. It's like the group of people who can be in downtown Manhattan. Downtown Manhattan is a crowded place. And they hear someone say, bomb! Everybody scatters. Or when you go to the movies and you're just going to have that date night with your spouse, or maybe you're going out with your BFF, and while you're enjoying the movie, someone stands up and says, fire! Scatter. Or if you grew up in the neighborhood where I grew up in, you hear that sound, which is a gun. No one has to tell you to run. You just flee. You see, those sounds do something to you that cause you to either stay and be damaged or run. Jesus says that's what happens to the sheep when they hear a stranger's voice. They know that's not the place where they should remain in order to be safe. Rather, in hearing that stranger's voice, knowing that danger is imminent, they flee. They leave. They're not going to hear the voice of the one who says to the little girl, why don't you come with me into this car? None of that really makes sense to anyone. Verse 6, they didn't understand. And it wasn't that they were unfamiliar with these categories. They knew of King David, who was the shepherd of the sheep. They knew of Ezekiel 34 that talks about the shepherd that was to come. That wasn't their issue. This wasn't a cognitive issue. This was one of them trying to figure out where they fit in Jesus' parable. Are they the ones, these Pharisees, these religious elite, who should be identified as the thieves and the robbers? Surely that's not it. Isn't that how sometimes you respond when someone comes and accuses you of something? The first response is to be defensive. That's not me. Chances are it is you. It was these Pharisees whom Jesus was identifying as the thieves and the robbers. Well, since they didn't understand the first time, Jesus decided, well, let me take a second stab here to try to help you understand what I'm saying here. Verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Do you get it now? Replace the word sheep with disciples. I am the door of the disciples. Do you remember the man who was born blind? Jesus gave him sight. When the Pharisees came to him and they kept peppering him with the same questions, and he said, why do you keep asking me the same questions? I've already told you once. And then he said that kind of almost snide comment, do you want to be his disciples too? And they reviled him. They kicked him out of the synagogue because they knew that if they were going to be a disciple of Jesus, they had to go through Jesus, because as Jesus indicates here, he is the door. And if you despise the things that Jesus says, there is no way you are going to be willing, ready, and able to walk through the door, who is Jesus, to become one of his followers. Many people, regardless of what they tell you, hate Jesus. And they will not see him as the door through which they want to walk to follow him. But the sheep know better. They know better because if anyone, verse 9, enters by Jesus, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. This is Numbers 27. When the Lord called Moses to go up on a mountain and said, look out there, do you see? That is the land that I'm going to give you. Moses, do you see? And Moses knew that that promised land that God had promised to him and the people of Israel was far better than the wilderness. Who wants to continue to wander around in the desert? Do you see, Moses? And so Moses, getting up there in age, knew he had to appoint a successor. So he appointed Joshua. And it's there in Numbers 27, verses 16 and 17. Joshua is painted as the new leader who will bring them out and bring them in, and they will follow so that though the people are many, they will have one shepherd. Jesus is that one shepherd who will lead the people in and out so that they find safe. You see, sheep have a lot of needs, but one of them is so that they will find safety. If you've never been in a place of want, you don't know anything about this. If you've never been in a place of want, you don't know what it's like to have that desire to go from the wilderness, to go from the desert and transition into the promised land, to go into the pasture. But all it takes is a little bit of pain. All it takes is a little bit of confusion. And you'll realize that you want that pain, you want that confusion to be resolved. It's the wife who has had the conversation time and time again with her husband. This is the best way you can love me. This is the kind of emotional support that I need. And no matter how many times she has the conversation with her husband, he just doesn't get it. There's this roadblock such that the wife now continues to wonder, are things going to get better? I know that the Bible tells me he's called to lay down his life for me. Surely he can love me well. That tension, that burden, what do you want during times like that? You want that to be resolved. When one day the lights come on and the husband realizes, I failed. This is the way I need to love my wife. And when she receives that kind of love, all of the tension, gone. That place of being in the wilderness to going to the green pasture. Or the child who is just so frustrated, he's so angry because he can't find his toy. We look at something like that and we think, oh man, we'll just buy you another toy. But he's like, this toy is special to me. And he's been looking night and day trying to figure out, where is my toy? He feels as if he searched everywhere. Except that one place. When he looks under the couch and he says, there it is. All the burden relieved. Wilderness to green pasture. The college student during finals. Man, she's thinking to herself, I hope that this day ends sooner than later. And no matter how much she studies, she thinks, you know, I just don't think it's good enough, but I know it's going to come to an end. So her anxieties begin to increase. She begins sleeping just 30 minutes to an hour each night because the finals are coming. And it's on that final day, she takes her final, that she walks out of that classroom. But the burden isn't completely gone because she's been having the reality check that maybe I didn't do as well on my finals as I should have, and is $40,000 going to go down the drain? Until she checks her email and she realizes she actually did better than she thought. Burden lifted. The wilderness to a place of green pasture. The man or woman who has a sexual addiction removed. The financial turmoil that we find ourselves in when we finally are employed and it's providing for our needs. If you've never been in want, you don't understand what it's like to have to go from that place of wilderness wanderings into a place of green pasture. But Jesus said, the sheep that enter by him, he is the door, will find that pasture. Anything outside of that pasture is the wilderness. You're just wandering and wandering and wandering and searching, thinking things are going to change, but they're not until you walk through that door. And there it is, you find safety. And one of the reasons you're able to walk through that door is because the shepherd calls you by name. I don't know if you're in the habit of following a leader who doesn't know your name. Well, that might turn out to be pretty chaotic. But one who has an intimate knowledge of you, that's the kind of person that you want to follow. The person who has your best interest in mind, that's the kind of leader that you want in front of you. The one who can number the hairs upon your head. The one who knows your financial needs. The one who knows your emotional needs. The one who provides food upon your table. That's the kind of person that you want to follow. The one who can say your name in every language in the world. Jesus says, I know my sheep. I know them by name. He has a greater and more intimate knowledge of you than the IRS. You see, that's what you need. That's the kind of leader that you want to follow. Because all others, and the Pharisees by this time haven't realized that, oh my goodness, Jesus is talking about us as the thieves and the robbers, and he's saying that he is the good shepherd. No matter how much Jesus has to say to them time and time again in these verses, I am the good shepherd, they just don't get that. They can't even find themselves in the equation realizing, oh my gosh, we've been built up. We've lifted ourselves up. We need to come down and follow the leader who is Jesus the Christ. But no matter how many times he has to tell them, I am the good shepherd, there's just that tendency in people to reject Jesus because they don't quite recognize his voice. Do you hear his voice? He's calling you to follow him. Hear his voice. Do not neglect it. One day it may be too late. I find it fascinating the level of intimate knowledge the Good Shepherd has of us. I have heard people say time and time again, the person who knows me the best in the world is my brother. The person who knows me the best in the world is my spouse. Jesus knows you as well as the Father knows the Son. Every need, every concern, every worry, every time you rejoice, every conflict you have with friends, Jesus knows that and is here as the leader. He is here as the shepherd to ensure that those needs are met. Let me put it this way. Is there ever a time, or has there ever been a time, when the Father did not take care of the Son? So will there ever be a time when the Son, the shepherd of the sheep, does not take care of you? Well, I also know that there are many sheep that Jesus must collect. There are those like the blind man. Remember, we're still in that dialogue. What was the catalyst for this conversation was Jesus healing this man on the Sabbath and people then taking it all out of turn. The blind man heard the voice of the shepherd and then followed Jesus. Others don't want to do that. That's why this is the third time, chapter 7 it happened, chapter 8 it happened, chapter 10 it happened, when there is a division among the people. Because there are some who begin wrestling with the words of Jesus to say, this is the one we need to follow, and there are others who still reject him. Those who reject Jesus are those who will have to give an account one day to every thought and word and deed. That is not the place where you want to be, standing on your own before a God who is holy and doesn't grade on a curve. Well, not only do the thieves come to destroy the place where the sheep dwell, but there are wolves who come and will scatter the sheep, because there are some hired hands who are out there who won't do the job of the shepherd. Notice Jesus didn't just say, I am a shepherd. He didn't even say, I am the shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. You see, character and behavior matters. The character and behavior of a person whom you are going to follow, I say it again, matters. That's why the character, you getting the point, and behavior for the one that you vote for, I mean, the character and the behavior of how you parent, I mean, the character and the behavior of how you treat women, the character and the behavior of the leader matters. Jesus is good character. The creator of heaven and earth, in whom there is no deceit or guile. Jesus is good, who takes care of every single need of his sheep. Jesus is good. In fact, he is so good that he clothed himself in the likeness of sinful flesh and dwelt among his people. Jesus is the good, but he is also the good shepherd. Behavior matters, and it is this shepherd who is unlike the wolves, he is unlike the thieves and robbers, he is unlike the hired hand. It is this good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. It is this good shepherd who said, no one has the authority to take my life from me. I have the authority both to lay it down, and I have the authority both to take it up. So in several chapters, it doesn't matter what Pilate says. Do you know, Jesus, that I have the authority to crucify you? No, you don't, Pilate. I have the authority to lay my life down. I have the authority to take it up again. You have no control over me. Jesus, of course, while speaking figuratively here, is also speaking of the cross. When he would take his now lowly body, one that is without sin, and place it upon a tree, that he might bear the burdens, that he might bear the sin of his people. But get this. When is Jesus saying all of this stuff? When is he talking about being the good shepherd? When is he talking about laying down his life and taking it up again? He is saying these things on the final day of the Feast of the Tabernacle. When, as I've said already, for 8 days they've been offering up animal sacrifices. One of those animals is a, would you guess, a sheep? A young lamb. Such that as the people now have to be confronted that they have to offer a whole burnt offering, as the people now are confronted that they have to offer up a sin offering, Jesus comes along, says that the sheep hear my voice, and if they are truly sheep, if you are truly sheep, one of the things that you will conclude is you don't have to pay for your own sin. No matter that you are a sheep, you don't have to be put on those rocks and those stones to be burned up, because the good shepherd is one who will lay down his life for the sheep who continually go astray. You see, they would have known things like this because those sheep were right in front of them being offered as sacrifices. And Jesus said, "Those who are my own, whom I call by name, will not have to pay for their own sin." I don't know how many people in this group would come to faith in Christ, but Jesus will collect, verse 16, both Jews and Gentiles. And this ultimately is coming because of the will of his Father. They're confused again. There's division in the midst of the people again. Some believe, well, no, he's got a demon and he is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, there is no way someone speaking like this, doing the things that he's doing, who has a demon. The sheep, they're beginning to wrestle with the voice of the stranger, these Pharisees who are trying to teach them otherwise, and yet sheep always know that the place of safety is home. Jesus, beloved, will lead you home. Are you willing to follow the leader? Now, there are so many leaders in this world, teachers, employees, employers. We have siblings and brothers who are leaders. But one thing that you will realize the more and more you lead is that you don't live up to your own expectations and you don't live up to the expectations of others. Jesus lived up to every expectation that everyone ever had. And though they want to accuse him of sin, at the end of the day, they have nothing on him. That's why they couldn't stone him. It wasn't until he was ready to lay down his life because he has the authority that he went to the cross and offers you the forgiveness of sins, offers you a perfection that is not your own. This is far better than a 4.0 GPA. This is good news. That God has been pleased to send his Son as the good shepherd. Remember, character and behavior matters. To give his life for his sheep. Though I was in the best military branch in the United States, far better than AMS in here. Air Force doesn't compare. Army, who knows? And the Marine Corps, we don't even think about them. The Navy. I miss a lot of things about being in the service. I miss getting up at O Dark 30, as we would call it, and take out my uniform and basically waste a half a bottle of starch on my uniform so that it'd be so crisp you can almost cut your finger if you touched it. But I also miss marching. It's just something about being together, knowing that you're going the same place, knowing that you have the same goals, knowing that you have the same leader. Far better than any division commander that I've ever had is Jesus, who wants to lead you to that place of green pasture. Don't let anyone tell you the grass is greener on the other side. It's not. It's only through Jesus as the good shepherd. It's only through Jesus as the door. Did you not notice in his words that he is both the shepherd and the sacrifice? He is both the point of access and the one who provides for you. Why would you want to go anywhere else? Why would you want to continue or wrestle with hearing the voice of the stranger? I know it might be tantalizing at first, but flee. Flee the voice of strangers and follow the leader. Amen? Amen. Amen.